Hi. It's amazing, really, that we're several weeks into lockdown in Scotland with the coronavirus, and here we are still practicing at home. Some of you are coming online, but this is really to support the practice sheets on our website. So it's level two again. It's sequence two that we're going to do today, and I'm going to start in Supta Svastikasan. So make sure that you have a clean, warm, dry place to practice. In theory, we're not meant to be out in the sunshine, but you know, why not? So you might hear I have a bit of competition with the birds for me today. I'm out in the garden. So I'll just get myself onto the ground and notice where the tension is in my back, which is the more lifted points, which points come to ground easily. Just giving time for the body to release, giving time for the groins to open. Not just the spine to contact the ground, but the back ribs to spread. And then once I find that settling coming with my back body, I adjust my shoulder blades so that they can spread more fully on the ground. So from here, I'm going to do the Urdhva Hastasana part. So I'm going to stretch my arms first towards the feet, then up to the ceiling. And I'm going to then take them overhead. So for this round, my palms will face the sky. Might be the ceiling in your case. And you'll feel immediately this gives more length to the front body, fuller breath, particularly on inhalation. So again, concentrate on keeping that length in your spine, but also the back body spreading on the ground. Whilst you reach the knees away from you and downwards, make sure the elbows remain tight, fingers stretching. And if your hands haven't come to the floor, do what you would do in class. Take a raise, a cushion, a blanket for the arms, something like that. Soften the throat. So there's a certain effort in holding the position so your back doesn't spring up, so your groin's open, but not a stressful position for the face or the throat. So inhale, bring the arms back, stretch out the legs, and change the cross. So Supta Svastikasan, or Supta Sukhasan, it could be. It's a happy, comfortable place. Again, settling the pelvis, is making it level as you can. Stretch the knees away from you and down. Perhaps this time, take the hands onto the frontal hip bones, and draw them up towards the rib cage. And then from there, you're going to again stretch the arms first away from you to take them up. This time you'll turn the palms to face each other. As you extend the arms overhead, resist any arching which might want to occur in the lower back. So yes, it's what many people would call core muscles. Mula Bandha and Uddiyana Kriya in yoga, as you have to tone the tummy to prevent that arching. Spreading the shoulder blades, upper back on the ground. Spreading the buttocks. Stay for a couple of breaths more. Keeping the tight elbows and fingers extending. But drawing the shoulders away from the ears. So it's like you have to draw the shoulder joint into the body where it belongs. And keep that connection with the shoulder blade and shoulder joint close to the ground as you raise your hands. Bring the arms back up. Stretch the arms to the floor. And then release your pose. Roll onto your side then for pose two, Adho Mukha Svanasana. Because even that first posture can be enough to aggravate some backs. So you can come from sitting on your heels in Adho Mukha Virasana, or you can come from your tummy, depending on what you're most familiar with, and alternate it from each time you practice the sheet. Breathe well. Again, think about that length in your spine so that you feel the skin stretching from the armpits up towards the outer hips, freeing the spine, opening the chest. Strong extension still for the arms, but now also the legs. Smooth, even breaths as you press down into the hands and press into the feet. That's not to say that the feet should be completely on the ground. In my first dog pose, first Adho Mukha Svanasana, this is unlikely to happen. Now, release. You can go to Uttanasana. You can just come via your knees, but you're going to come to standing next. And unless there's a reason to have the feet apart, have the legs together. So you join the feet, you join the legs. You spread the toes. The inner ankles are resting on each other, lift them up. Feel the kneecaps lifting up. Take your hands on the tummy, lift the tummy up. Draw it back slightly to the spine. Feel the chest opening. And again, the back chest broad, just like when you were lying down. So again, arms overhead, Urdhvahastasana. So charge your arms by stretching the fingertips to the ground. And on an inhalation, take the arms up, overhead. Breathe well and recharge the legs. Press more firmly to the heels. Spreading the toes. The tummy drawn back to the spine. Reach those fingertips to the sky. And whilst your hands are there, you're going to bend the elbows and interlock the fingers overhead. Revolve the palms to the ceiling or sky. Move the elbows back and then stretch the arms up again. So Urdhva Badyanguli Asana, or Parvatasana, you might know it as. So a slightly stronger stretch for the outer upper arms, triceps, latissimus dorsi. And then release, so bend the elbows, knuckles coming down to the head. Revolve the palms to the head. Change the interlock on your fingers. Revolve the palms to the ceiling. Knuckles on the head. Elbows back. Make sure the legs are still strong, that the tummy has got that slight tone that we worked with earlier. And then take the arms up one last time. Urdhva Badyanguli Asana. So it feels like it really is a stretch. It's not just a token gesture to the shape. It's an integrated, every part of the body, mind involved with the sensations that come with this shape. And then release the hands forwards, unwind the fingers, and bring the arms down back to Tadasana. Now you could relax here, or you could recharge the legs. You could maintain your pose. And you could, because it's Tadasana, re-roll those shoulders forward, up, back and down, and start to stretch your arms back. So this exaggerates the opening of the chest for sure, and it might cause you to arch in the back. So either make your legs stronger, that hopefully would be enough, but if necessary, engage the abdominals so that the tummy muscles are drawn up and back slightly to support your spine. So still the arms are back, we'll now bend the elbows, touch the fingertips. Bring the fingertips onto the spine and then revolve them up towards your skull. Keep the shoulders back, elbows back as you work the fingertips up the spine. So if you'd had a look, I should have said, but it's Paschim Namaskar, which is revolved namaskar, or prayer position, or greeting position. So keep sliding the hands up the spine as best you can. So towards the shoulder blades, so you can fully join the wee fingers, the ring fingers, the middle fingers, the index fingers. So it starts to mobilize your wrists, very useful for a lot of postures that will come later. And then release, slide the arms down, stretch the hands outside the body, turning the palms forward. So from here, we have alerted the body. The body movements have alerted the mind, and the breath has gone with it all, so that we're now ready to go for the first of the more recognised standing postures, Trikonasana, triangle pose. Although I did have a couple of students that called it Trikiasana for a long time, because there's many elements that we could work to perfect. So if you can jump, so as long as there's no problems with the back, hips, knees, ankles, then I expect you to jump the legs. 3.5 feet, so 1.2 meters, something like that. Check the toes are forward when you arrive and the arms are extended. So extended legs, extended arms. Everything you did in Tadasana, but now with the legs apart, arms wide. Turn out with your right foot, keeping the heel in line with the left instep. Press into the left heel and see if you can bring those left toes in. And then extend over the right leg. Look at the right hand, reach out, see where you're going, and bring the hand down onto the right shin. Left arm up. Triangle pose. Breathing here. Probably aware of the stretch on the inner right thigh, but the more you push into the left foot behind you and look up to the left hand, it should take the strain off there. Inhale, up you come. Feet to the front. Rest the hands on the waist if you need to. And then revolve the left foot out, turning on the heel. Lift up the right toes. Turn them in. Check heel is in line with instep. Knees tight. Shoulders down. Elbows tight. Face happy. Look over the left leg. Stretch forwards to come down. Forwards in that you're over the left leg. Arrive Trikonasana. Think about the triangular base. Try and make the weight even as you contact each foot. And make sure there's lots of height in your triangle by reaching up with that right hand. Look to the right hand if you can. And on an inhalation, up you come. Feet to the front. Step or jump back together. Tadasana. So a couple of breaths in Tadasana. To center yourself. Feel that Tadasana is already more compact, more steady, taller, quieter. And try and keep those qualities in Parsvakonasana. So pose six, on an inhalation, jump extra wide, turning the right foot out, left foot in. Go through Virabhadrasana 2, which has been on many of the sheets before now. And then either elbow to knee or hand to brick or chair for Parsvakonasana. So use what you need today. And make sure the knee, most importantly, the right knee stays over the right ankle, not the toes. So I've got a brick behind my ankle. knee is pushing against my right arm, and my left leg is reaching back, as is my left arm. So I'm now going to start lifting the left arm, revolve the palm to the right side of my mat. So when I extend my left side, I can really lift up the left side of my trunk and look towards my, under my left arm to see the sky. Inhale, up you come. Feet to the front and revolve to the other side immediately. And through Virabhadrasana 2, coming into Parsvakonasana. So Parsvakonasana is extended flank pose. The flank we are stretching comes from the right heel now, up the right waist, right ribs to the right shoulder. And to complete that extension, take your right arm up, revolve the palm towards the left end of your mat, and extend to the right fingertips, clean line. So it's great for strengthening and relieving backache, strengthening the spine. Also can help with sciatica if it's performed well. So a few breaths in the pose, and then inhale, up you come. Jump the feet back together, Tadasana. I'm going to give you a brief moment to lie down, especially if you've got two bricks, because at this point, if you lie down and place on the back edge of your mat, well, a brick at the level of your hips and another brick at the level of your shoulders, and then when you stand up, you take the feet so that the heels are in line with the hip brick and the hand is on the shoulder brick, then you should be able to lift that left leg immediately into Ardha Chandrasana, half moon balance, because the distance will be the right measurement for your body. So you can enjoy stretching into that left foot, stretching the left arm along the left side, lifting the heart, turning the head, and extending up with the left arm as well. And then bend the right leg, join the feet. So now just switch that brick across your mat, ready for your left hand. Bend the legs. So you've now got the weight on the left foot, the left hand. Left hand could be on a brick. You lift up the right leg. You stretch the right arm along the right side. And try to really free your spine. The more you reach into the right leg, the more you can open the chest. You have stability, hopefully. If you don't have stability, pause the tape. Go and get a chair. Take yourself to a wall and then start again so that you can really enjoy what this pose has to offer. Now release those who are still with me, and I will have to find out the next pose. So now you get a break. Prasarit Padottanasana. So from Tadasana, jump the legs wide. If you've done 6 months of yoga or less, well, you wouldn't have done less, I don't think, on these recordings. But if it, you know, 6 months to a year, turn the toes in. Otherwise, have the outer feet parallel, wide, sorry, and parallel to the short end of your mat. As make the legs tight, Tadasana, and bend forward till your hands come to chair, blocks, bricks, or floor. So although the hands come down, the legs hold you. And squeeze the legs towards each other as if you're trying to pull up the mat. So you feel the muscles come to the bone. Still my hands are under the shoulders. But if I feel my legs strong, I might just start to bend my elbows to the back of the mat walk the hands back and let the head hang. So take a few breaths here. Feeling the pose steady. Hips high. Hands shoulder width. Elbows shoulder width. Spine releasing. Belly soft. Breath smooth. Keep pressing into the feet. As you lift the head, walk the hands forward. If you've found yourself going a bit wide, just walk the feet in here. Or just come up and then jump the feet together. So we have another standing, just to get the spine more stretched before we do head balance. So start in Tadasana. Join the feet, join the legs, stand tall, mountain pose. Feel as equal energy on front, back body and sides. Samasthiti, very balanced posture. No wobbling, no shift of weight. One day. Okay, so taking the legs back to triangle distance, so not so very wide. This time we'll turn the left foot in first, so really press on the left heel and bring the toes round as much as you can. Take your hands on your hips so that you can turn your hips to the right end of your mat as much as you can. And now turn out on the right foot. So everything is facing the short end of the mat. On an exhalation, stretch forwards, taking the left hand down inside the right foot. Try and balance your hips in the way you would in class in this pose. And look forwards, really stretch the spine out. Take the fingers forward. Take the fingers in front of that right foot. And if possible, or if that already is upsetting your balance, just take your hand back inside the right foot. But if possible, take the hand outside the right foot. I imagine by now, those who need raises for the hands will have taken them. So revolve. See what was on the wall behind you. Turn your navel. Lift up with the right arm. And then release, come back up. So your feet are 3.5 or 4.5 feet apart, toes forwards, hands on the hips. Lift up the right toes and spin on the heel, so you turn that right leg in as much as you can. And then revolve on your left foot, so the toes point to the left end of your mat. Bring your hips round. Lift your chest up, roll your shoulders back, and then extend your trunk, your torso, over the left leg, bringing the right hand down. Take a couple of breaths here, stabilizing, trying to level the pelvis, keeping the knees tight. Stretch the right arm further forward. This might be all that feels possible for you today, and then you stop here. If it feels like you can then take the hand in front of the toes, then do. And if it's possible, take the hand, right hand outside the left ankle. Help stabilize yourself by pushing slightly the right wrist against the left ankle so that you can revolve more. And lift that left arm. Paravritta Trikonasana. And then inhale up. Come to the end of your mat. Take yourself to Uttanasana. And then jump back into Adho Mukha Svanasana. downward dog. So just releasing the back, opening the shoulders, finding a symmetry in the body, a symmetry that you will want to maintain, and a quietness in the head that you'll want to maintain as you come to Shirshasana, head balance. So just when you're ready, take what you need for head balance. So is that a wall? Is it a corner? Is it a chair? Is it a Stonehenge setup? If that means nothing, don't worry. It's not for you. But try something different each time. And remember to always swap the interlock on your fingers when you do this pose. One day you have the right wee finger at the bottom, and then one day the left. Okay, so we come up just when you're ready, head balance. I'm quiet because I'm practicing as I speak today. So I'm just placing my head well, ensuring that my forearm, the whole of my forearm, is pressing down evenly, my shoulders lifting before my head goes down. And then up I go. So you let the breath settle. And in the way that Tadasana, Samasthiti, is an equal-sided pose, this is also. This is mountain pose upside down. So you're looking for stability. But you're also looking to be as tall as you can, thereby reducing any weight, any pressure on the neck. So the sides of the trunk will stretch, encouraging you to breathe well. And as you exhale, press down with the wrists. Lift up with the shoulder blades. The tummy naturally is drawn back to the spine in this position. And the more you work the legs, the more that will happen. So feel that central connection of the legs. Start by pointing your toes. So you really feel the kneecaps gripping again. Particularly, you'll feel the muscles of the knees and thighs. Now stretch your heels. So you feel the back of the knee opening. And still the thigh muscle works. So that expression I used earlier for the standings. Muscle to bone. In this pose too. And gradually one day this will be a meditation position for you. The more aligned you become, the more space you create, the pose will become quiet, still, steady. When we first start head balance, it's quite hard work. And then it becomes the favoured inversion, because it's such a joy. So I have no watch, but I don't want to hold you for too long. So we'll come down. We'll sit back on the heels. We'll stretch the arms forwards. We'll relieve the neck and shoulders, perhaps by looking up a bit, and bringing the chin to the chest. Baddha Konasana next, pose 12. So I haven't specified anything in the way of props, because I thought if you know you're particularly stiff in the hips, so when you sit in Baddha Konasana and the knees are up at waist level, take a raise. Otherwise, work with what you have, just the way you're made. And bring the soles of the feet together. And like at the earlier postures and the last posture, work to stretch out the spine. So you can do this with the hands behind you, the chest opening, the shoulders back, groin softening. You can maintain it as you hold the feet, or use a belt to hold the feet. And then you're going to start to hinge forward, like we did in Prasarit Padottanasana. So I feel my groins moving back, I keep my buttocks down, then I start to draw my chest forward. If you lift your chin, the chest will draw forward better, bringing the spine with it. You might not move very far because there may be resistance in your groins, in your back. But just see what that movement is, because this is not something we do so very much. And it's an interesting pose to come forward in. And one day, if you keep practicing everything, especially the standings, you might even get to take your head to your toes without rounding your back, just by stretching forwards. Okay, up you come. It's a good preliminary for Janushirshasana. So as always, back problems, take a bit of a raise. Hamstring problems, don't take a raise. And then all start in Dandasana with your legs in front. And bend your right leg into Baddha Konasana position. So the knee wide to the side, the sole of the foot facing the left thigh. And if you've got maybe 6 months, a year experience of yoga, you can let the toes slide under the left thigh. But if you've got 6 years, or 2 years even, of yoga, then try not to contact the left thigh with that right foot and really sit up. And now we try coming forwards again. So I'm not even using a belt. I'm just taking my hands onto the left leg. And I'm taking the hands down from the shin towards the ankle. And then I'm going to take my left hand and pull my tummy round so that my navel also faces to my left leg. I'm going to replace my hands on the left shin and pull so that I feel my front body lengthening, my spine lengthening, my chin lifting. And then I'm going to take my hands a little bit further down, maybe catching the ankle or the heel now. Check the tummy, the navel is still facing the left leg. As you draw yourself forward, make sure not to pull on your back. And then inhale, up you come. Lift up the right knee, join the legs, Dandasana. That feeling of pulling up the kneecaps, do here. So point the toes and then pull the toes towards you. This is to make sure the knees are all good before we do the other side. Take the left leg to Janushirshasana. So I usually take the fingers inside the knee, draw the leg back. Same applies to the foot, so whatever you did last time, you do this time. You turn to face the right leg and you take your hands onto the leg. Try and align with the straight leg. And this time I'm going to take the right hand off and draw my belly flesh from left to right so that my navel might face more towards the right foot, the right big toe. replacing both hands on the right leg, start to move them down. If there's any pull on the back, reverse. Work to keep the tummy facing the right foot. From time to time, pull with the hands so you feel your sternum lifting and lengthening. There should be a freedom to lift the chin. When you've got maximum lift, widen the elbows. See if you can come a bit closer towards that leg and get a... This is very nice also for the lower back, this pose. You know, you get a good stretch if there's tightness in those muscles. And then up you come. Join the legs. Dandasana once again. Point and pull on the toes so that you can relieve the knees. And then take both legs wide. So this, we're going to go to maximum today, maximum wideness, but with the toes still pointing to the ceiling or sky, with the kneecaps facing the ceiling. Start to spread the back thighs on the floor. Not so easy, I admit, if you're on a raise. Pull the toes towards you, even here. I have my hands just behind the hips just now as I really try and stretch up the sides of my trunk and sit tall. But I like to do different things when I'm practicing, so trying to hold the spine firm there myself, I then take the hands inside the legs. So the back of my hands press against my inner knees. And it's as if I'm trying to push the legs wider apart. But in fact, what happens is my chest lifts. My shoulders go back. And if you feel your tailbone escaping a bit, that's okay. One foot at a time, really pull the toes towards you. Stretch out the heel. See if you can get more of the Achilles coming to the ground. And then take your hands just behind you slightly again. See if you can lift up your bottom. Come forward slightly. See if you can take the legs wider. Sitting up. You can choose now, hands behind or hands inside the knees. You don't have to, but if you're curious to see what the forward movement is, slide the hands down the legs. Chest forward, buttocks down, chin lifting. And if you can get your fingertips on your toes, or you could use bricks to push your toes. Toes have to resist, fingers have to push. That will help you lift the chest more. And you get a sense of Upavista Konasana. And then inhale, up you come. Take hold of both inner knees and bring the legs together. And gather what you need for Sarvangasana. So of course at this point I realise I didn't give an alternative at point of head balance. But for Sarvangasana, of course, the obvious alternative is Setu Bandha, which is on previous sheets, or bridging pose. So otherwise, just set yourselves up now with what you need. If you've been to any number of classes at all, you'll know we're absolutely fanatical about having a shoulder raise. Unless you can maintain that arch under your neck and between your shoulders. And pretty much everybody benefits from this raise. And particularly your brain. Yeah? You want to keep your brain supplied with well-oxygenated blood. So I suggest taking a raise out of whatever you can find. And if you know that you're going to need a chair for halasana while you're up there, then do. And clearly, if you look at the sheet, we're going to be taking the legs wide. That would require a further two chairs out to each side. So, having set yourself up, use a belt as well. And particularly women find it quite hard to get the lift, so you have your belt a little bit wider than shoulder width. I'm just going to try and bring the microphone close to me before I go up. Come straight up. So belt on, and then swing the legs up. Bring the hands down the back. And stand on your shoulders. But aren't you lucky? This is supported shoulder balance. You've got the whole of your upper arms as well. So now this is Tadasana on the shoulders. So again, a tall, aligned, straight, steady pose. That's what we're looking for. So joining the feet well, joining the legs. This time we'll stretch the heels first, pull the toes down. Feel how reaching up the heels lifts the spine. And keep that lift in your spine as you relax the feet. So we're not pointing the toes now. We're letting the feet find a natural position. And actually it's very interesting because the ball of the foot will rest higher than the heel. So strong legs. Feel that nice opening on the chest that we got earlier. Use the hands to help lift the spine rather than let the spine rest on the hands. Soften the throat. Quieten the eyes. As you are aware, it should be a Shavasana face. Head, neck, throat, all in Shavasana. Smooth, even breaths. So if you have to come down earlier, that's fine. I'm just concentrating on being centered, working my arms and legs to lift my spine, but trying not to engage my face, my head, my mouth, trying to keep that in Shavasana. So this is a great complementary pose to Shirshasana. This is the mother of all poses. Circulation to endocrine glands greatly enhanced just by being here. Improving the weight bearing capacity of your bones. This is a good thing. You know, this, what's our maximum calcium content and strength of the bones is like late 20s, 30-ish, I think. And from then on, you've got to work to keep that bone density. And the inversions are your great tool. They also help with your cardiovascular capacity. Okay. Last few seconds. Really lift up. Take the legs wide. We're going to go for Upavista Konasana. And then you're going to point the toes out so it's more like Supta Konasana, and your toes are going to come to the floor or the ground. And keep your spine lifting. So what you did seated earlier, you're now doing in shoulder balance. It's a nice variation. And bring your toes together. Halasana, plow pose. You'll all be familiar with this. Remove your strap. Take the legs wide again. Take your fingertips to your toes. Push on the toes. See how that helps you get more on the shoulders. Then release, support your back. Bring the feet together. Try again. Take your fingers to your feet. Push. But pull up the kneecaps to lift your hips. And then bend your knees in. Support your back with your hands. And roll down. Recover with the head at the same level as the chest. And then sit on your raise. So you're going to turn to the side, sit on the edge of your shoulder pad. Stretch out the legs in front of you. Together if you can. Take your hands just outside the hips on the edge of the raise. And look up. See that spot on the ceiling above you? And really lift your chest up. And start to incline the body forwards. If it's too much for your back, just go back to the starting position. Otherwise, hinging forwards with the chin, with the chest. And reaching back with the shoulders, with the groins, pressing the buttocks on the edge of that shoulder raise. If it all feels okay, slide the hands down the legs towards the feet. So that's the reaching part of your Paschimottanasana. When the back says enough, you stop. Keep your hands where they are and pull. Feel the chin lift, the chest lift, and keep reaching into the buttocks. Kneecaps tight, and up you come. So just a bit of a suggestion of Paschimottanasana, really. And then clear your mats. And put your blocks out of the way, unless you're going to use them for weights on your thighs. Have your head flat, unless you have tightness in the neck and shoulders, in which case use a blanket for the head. And as we started, lying down, you finish in Shavasana, connecting with your spine. Hopefully the spine resting to the floor more easily now. Along its length, but also in the way it spreads. As you've stretched out the legs, check they're down the centre of the mat. Replace the head. Take the fingertips to the shoulder tops. Push them down. And bring the elbows close to the body, but down to the floor. Fingers still on the shoulders. And then from there, stretch out the arms so the hands arrive about hip level and about 30 degrees, 25 degrees from the body. For a moment, spread the palms well and roll that thumbnail to the floor. So you feel a slight lift to the chest and then let loose. Arms loose, legs loose, tongue loose. Resting on the center of the back of your head. Feeling perfectly symmetrical. smooth, even breathing. The body is supported, it will look after itself. So disconnect from the body. Connect with the breath. Allow yourself just to be here. Do nothing. And eventually you find you don't even have to connect with the breath. You can just exist in this still, steady state. And it feels like there's a vastness within, just tremendously spacious being for yourself. So the knowledge of the mind is really absorbed in one with the asana. That's Chitanjananda Asana, something like that. So we practice the Yoga Sutras all the time. We just don't name it. You can take as long as you like, really. You're at home. The audio will stop. Just make sure you take time to recover well and that you've had a nice, wholesome practice. And I look forward to leading you through some more. Namaskar.